It's March the 4th, and we're in Sanhedrin. We are in Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis, and this will be a little bit of an abridged shiur, unfortunately. The piece we're doing tonight is the remez that Boaz gave to Rus when he handed her six soirim, as the Gemara says. So in the pasuk says he gave her six soirim. That's so tiny he would give her that. That can't be. So then the Gemara says, well, so maybe he gave her six saw. That can't be either, because how could you carry such a heavy load? Must be that he really did give her only six soirim, which is very small. But the reason why he did it is it was a remez to her that she would have six descendants who would each have a bracha of each have six brachas, and those six people are David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are the six. So David, of course, comes from Rus. We know Mashiach is a direct descendant of David HaMelech. He is Melech HaMashiach. He will be the king as a direct descendant of David. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were not kings, but the pasuk tells us in Sefer Daniel that they were Mizera HaMelucha. At least Daniel was Mizera HaMelucha. We know the Gemara here as a Machloikas, whether Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah came from Yehuda or not. Where they were from the other Shvatim. But Daniel certainly was from Mizera HaMelucha, and according to this opinion, there were six descendants of hers that had these brachas, so then that means Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah must have been descendants of Rus as well. So this is going according to those who hold that they were also Mizera HaMelucha, they were from David HaMelech. The Gemara then goes through to tell us, how do we know that each of these people was Nisbarach with six brachas? And it's an interesting thing because the brachas turn out to be different types of brachas. David HaMelech has the pasuk of Vayan Echad Min Ha'arim Vayomer, that Dayeg Ha'adaymi says, Hine Ro'isi Ben Li'ishai Beis Halachmi, and he lists David's qualities, Yadea Nagin, V'Gibur Chayal, V'Ish Mechama, V'Navon Dabar, V'Ish Tayar, V'Hashem Imai. Those are the six for David HaMelech. The six for Mashiach, it's a more famous pasuk, as the Gemara brings, V'nachal of Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chachma, Uvino, Ruach Eitz, Ogvor, Ruach Das, V'Yiruz Hashem. And then finally, the six brachas for Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah are Asha'im b'hem kol mum, V'toy v'mara, U'maskilim b'chol chachma, V'yodei das, U'mevinei mada, V'asher kayach b'hem, L'amar b'hechal ha'melech, U'lam them sefer. For Lashon Kastim. So, those are the different things that they had. So there's a few different points that I want to address this evening about these brachas and the remez that she got. First of all, this is a little bit of a digression, but it's important to talk about it once the Gemara brings it up, which is that David HaMelech's brachas, the Gemara tells us, were said by Doeg HaDoimi. Doeg HaDoimi, we already know from the first Mishnah, lost his chelik in Olam Haba. He's one of the ones who has no chilek in Olam Haba.
Is it because of this?
It's not this specifically, but it's probably because of Nevir Akayanim. I believe that's where it comes from. As the Mishnah lists. Right? Gemara says over here, Arba had yaitos, Bilam, v'dayeg, v'achitayfal, v'geichazi. Those are the four.
Can I ask a question before so I don't have to interrupt you in the middle of the thought? Why is Mashiach not listed after?
Oh, I'm going to get to that.
Okay, and then the next question is then
when you're saying it's out of order.
Yeah,
it's chronological.
When Doeg gives this report, it's David was all six of those things bipshat, meaning like then the Gemara is
mefarat.
Why is it?
Right.
Why do you have to darshan it? I mean,
because
it says it's not. It seems like the Gemara is saying he wasn't those other things because he says,
well,
Ein Ella, right? Doesn't it say Ein Ella?
No, his.
That was Ein Ella Lashon Hara.
It was only Lashon Hara. That was his point. And it sounds like he was being very complimentary with David HaMelech, but really he was speaking Lashon Hara.
Is that because Shaul would not have been jealous of those first six as listed?
Apparently, that's what he's trying to do. That's how the Gemara knows it. See, the story is over there. This is actually very relevant to last Shabbos's Haftarah. Last Shabbos's Haftarah was Parsha Zachar, and it was where Shaul HaMelech didn't do what he was supposed to do, and as a result, Shmuel says to him, "Kara Hashem Amluchus Yisro Me'alecha," that Hashem has taken away your Malchus, and his son, no, L'Reyacha Tov Mimecha, and he's given it to your Reya, to your friend who's better than you. L'Reyacha Tov Mimecha. So, and that, of course, is David HaMelech. Incidentally,
so just as I said, the Haftorah that we read for fast is the one with the
Sarissa. Yeah, that's down here. Right. That's down here. Now, incidentally, before I go on with that part of the of what happened over there in Sefer Shmuel, the Dr. Bariafi mentioned to me, I believe, mentioned to me on Purim or maybe on Shabbos. He mentioned to me, I thought it was a very nice thought that. That language, Unisana L'Reyacha Tov Mimecha, he gave it to your friend who's better than you. The language in the Megillah is that the language of the Megillah is what?
Same thing that Haman says to Ahasuerus
about Vashti, right? To get rid of Vashti and then give her crown, right?
To one that's
Mirusa Hatoiva Mimena, to her friend who's better than her, and that's Esther. Esther is a descendant of Shaul. So where Shaul lost the Malucha to his Reya HaTov Mimenu, now Esther gets it back from her. Now she's the Reya HaTov Mimenu. She's the one who's better, and she gets it back.
And she's,
that comes full circle.
She's from Binyamin, too.
Right, she's from Shaul. She's direct descendant of Shaul HaMelech. So, okay. Al-Kopanim, so Shaul loses the Malucha, but it doesn't say to whom, just as Hashem is taken away from you. Immediately, the next story in Shmuel is that Hashem tells Shmuel, go to Yishai Beis Halachmi, and there he has a son, and you should anoint him as king. So he goes, and of course, you know, the story that he does all seven sons, none of them are correct, and then finally he says, is there anybody else? And he says, oh, there's David, he's a kid, but David comes before him and he anoints David HaMelech. So, now when he anoints David HaMelech, David doesn't, he's officially king, at least officially means as far as Shmuel is concerned, as far as HaKadosh Baruch is concerned, but nothing happens. There's no coronation, there's no people who know about David HaMelech. David HaMelech is an obscure, he's not, I wouldn't say he's a kid, but he's a young man.
How old is he at the time?
Well, when he fights with Goliath, which is shortly after the story, he's 28. So he's, all those picture books that you put make a little kid, he's 28 years old when he defeats Goliath. But at any rate, so he's not a well-known person. He's not like a Gadol Hadar or some kind of a princely, you know, charismatic person that, you know, that everybody knows about. He's nobody knows who he is. So obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to arrange things that David HaMelech will eventually become known and become the king. So immediately after that, Hashem, it says that a ruach of Hashem went on David HaMelech, and the ruach of Hashem left Shaul. Like apparently the king had a special ruach from Hashem, and that ruach left Shaul and went to David, and instead another ruach, ruach ra, afflicted Shaul immediately. That's, as you know, that Shaul was afflicted with this ruach ra from then until he died. So when he was afflicted with the ruach ra, so then his advisors suggested bring someone who can play the kinar, and then that will help you, the music will soothe you, and that will help you through your tough time when the ruach ra is afflicting you. So that's where Doeg speaks up. They're trying to say, okay, who should we get? Doeg says, oh, you know, I know about this Yishai, Beis Halachmi, he has a son, and he starts listing all these things. And that's how David HaMelech gets taken. Shaul sends for David HaMelech. David HaMelech is taken from, he says to Yishai, send me your son. And of course, the king is sweeping powers. He can do whatever he wants. And David is told to come to the king. And he comes and he plays the kinar for Shaul HaMelech. And Shaul is soothed healed.
After he's anointed?
After David is anointed.
So said that the king has sweeping powers, but...
Yeah, but nobody knows it. Nobody knows.
Yishai didn't know that his son was just...
No, Yishai knows about it, but nobody else knows. Shaul doesn't know.
But Doeg was... This was Doeg's intention?
Doeg is the one who points out to Shaul that there's this young man, David, who can play the kinar really well. That's what he's telling him over here. That's the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk. The Pashup Shad of the Pasuk, without the Gemara Darshins, without saying Lashon Hara, is that he says to him, I saw that there was this young man for Yishai Beis Halachmi, and he's Yodei Anagein He knows how to play well. V'gibor chayil, he's strong. V'yishmo chama, v'navon davar, v'yishtar, v'ashem imo. He's got all these attributes. He's good to stand before you. He's the kind of person that you would want to have in your court who would play for you. He comes and Shaul loves him. He's wonderful. Shaul just loves him. And eventually he makes him his nisei kelim. He carries Shaul's, his...
He's the king. It's interesting.
Right? He's the king, but he becomes the attendant of Shaul, right? Now Shaul is not officially not the king. He's still Shaul. You can't just say he's not king anymore because you don't just depose the monarch. He is the monarch. But the as far as the as, I don't know what you call it, spiritually David is the king, but now he's attending Shaul, and then of course he then moves on to become his general and leads the wars, and then he marries Shaul's daughter, Michal, right? This is the progression as Shaul now becomes not just the special lad of the king. He becomes the general, and then he becomes the son-in-law of the king. He's ascending in his popularity and how well-known he is, and the girls sing about how wonderful he is, and then of course that only makes Shaul more and more jealous. And you have the whole story where then Shaul ends up chasing after David to try to kill him, and that's the tragic end of Shaul HaMelech. In the end, he's killed, and David, of course, ascends the throne.
It was really tragic because he had an out, you know what I mean? It would have been a great out for Shaul.
That was.
Just to, like, sort of say, let him slowly, he seems like he's slowly coming
right.
in, taking
right.
over, just let him,
right.
kind of, you can kind of fade
right.
away, let him take
so,
over.
But the issue was that Shaul did have sons. If he didn't have any sons, so his son-in-law is a natural, right? But the problem is he had sons, and especially Yehonah's son, who was very special and was the natural heir to the throne. And this was the Lashon Hara that Doeg was speaking, that he, as the Gemara says, that every time he listed an attribute of David, it didn't bother Shaul, because Yehonah's son has it too. But then he mentions Hashem Imo, that's the one that Yehonah's son doesn't have, and that bothered Shaul. Now, the fascinating thing is, nobody knew about David yet. Doeg happens to know about David. Doeg HaAdomi happens to know about David. How does he know about David? David is this obscure young man who's out with the flock that is so obscure, even his father Yishai, when the Navi, the great Navi Shmuel, comes and says, one of your sons is king, I need to see them all. And he brings all of his sons, minus David. Like, that's the one he doesn't bring. You know, the Navi said, bring all your sons. No, not David. Not David. Right? So even his own father, Yishai, and remember, Yishai is one of the four people in history who, what?
Never sinned.
Never sinned. He died be'itai shel nachash. He died because of the sin of Adam and Chava. That's why he died. Yishai never did a sin. So Yishai is a tremendous tzaddik. He's one of the Gedolei Hadar.
It's a little bit of understanding.
Right? Right? And he won't bring David. And Doeg HaAdomi, who ends up losing his chelek in Olam Haba, he knows that David has all of these attributes. Apparently, Yishai doesn't know. Like, what kind of thing is that? Right? So already, it's terribly disturbing. It's very difficult to understand. How does Doeg know this about David? Where did he ever meet David that he would know this?
Well, what does Yishai think that Shmuel is coming to a sense for? To anoint a king? Is that why? Or does
Yeah. So this is already very, very difficult.
Even Shmuel Hanabi didn't immediately recognize David as being king.
Right.
When he first walks in.
Right, but
Hashem has to speak to him. And
right.
Say,
right. But he didn't know that there was a David. He didn't even know that there was. He just when he goes through the first seven sons of Yishai, he says, is that it? Like, none of them are the king. Is that it? And when he turned over the shemen, onto their head, no oil came out. It didn't come out. But on David, it came out, and it turned into, as the Medrash says, it turned into pearls and gems all over David's head. You know, it was clearly obvious that, you know. So how does Doeg know this? But even more than that, how does he know to speak Lashon Hara? Like, why would he be speaking Lashon Hara about David HaMelech? I can understand if David has already become a chash of a person, and he's now, you know, he's... But why would Doeg even speak Lashon Hara about David HaMelech? What would be the reason here to speak Lashon Hara?
Lose his job?
I think it's something internal. It's something because he's an Edomite. He's from Esav.
Okay, well, Doeg HaAdomi, there is a... Okay, so we're not ready to discuss Doeg HaAdomi in depth, but you're onto something. We will, Blinetter, we'll discuss Doeg HaAdomi when we get to him about losing his chelek in Olam Haba.
Well, his name kind of means... Does that mean to worry, right?
What? Doeg means to wear, yeah. Yeah.
So I mean,
Ha'adai means the Edomite.
Doeg means to wear, means he had some sort of, I don't know, just an anxious guy who's worried about it, right?
It's important to note that David HaMelech is called Admoni, red, im yefei einayim, with beautiful eyes. But that's what David HaMelech is called. That's how he's described.
He's the one who defeats Esav, in a sense.
Well, he's from Yehuda. Yosef has defeated Esav, right? So we'll see. I mean, the Gemara says later says that
he sort of is Esav in a way. I mean,
okay. The only way the Gemara asks the kasha, how could David have defeated Edom if he's not from Yosef? And the Gemara has to answer that he had generals from, I believe, Sheva Menashe. That was the only way he was able to defeat Edom. So he can't. He doesn't have the koyach to defeat Esav. But nevertheless, he is David HaMelech, and he's Admaini and Doeg HaAdaimi. That's too close to be, you know. They are. Doeg is trying to undermine David from the very beginning. You see, even before anybody knows who he is, Doeg's trying to undermine him. So that's an important point. And this is going to play in when we get to Doeg HaAdaimi and are able to talk about him in depth. This is going to play a role of what's going on over here. But this is Doeg's intention to speak Lashon Hara about David HaMelech. Now, he does it in a very clever way. He doesn't speak Lashon Hara. He doesn't say, oh, you know that kid, that guy, Dov, you know how terrible he is. Instead, he says good things about David HaMelech. So this is paskind in the Gemara, and the Rambam paskins it, and of course the Chafetz Chaim talks about it in Hilchos Lashon Hara, that it is usher to speak b'shvachai. This is considered avak lashon hara. In avak lashon hara, the dust of lashon hara, one of the examples is speaking b'shvachai shel chaver, speaking about the goodness or the praises of his friend. The Gemara has two different gersos: tovaso shel chaverai or shvachai shel chaver. All the Gemara says, it's the Gemara in Erchin and it's in Bava Basra, so a couple of places. The Gemara says hamasaper b'toyvasai or b'shvachai shel chaverai hareze. Lashon Hara. That's Lashon Hara. So the Mefarshim, when they paskin this, the Rambam paskins it and others, when they paskin this, they don't, the Rif, the way they paskin in Rashi also, the way they paskin is, ha-mesaper b'shvacho shel chaveroi yoiser midai. Too much. They don't say...
Like in front of the enemy.
Okay, hold on. The way they paskin it is yoiser midai. So, zok the Chafetz Chaim, In the Berimayim Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara, why do they say Yoiser Midai? Too much. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say too much. The Gemara just says Hamasaper B'Shvachai Shel Chaver.
He went one too far.
But the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara, when it says it in Bava Basra and Erechin, without quoting this story, just says Hamasaper B'Shvachai Shel Chaver is Lishna Bisha, is Lashon Hara. It doesn't say they're Yoiser Midai. So Zok the Chavetz Chaim, the reason why the Pesukim understand that it must be Yaisim Midai is because of a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Chamisha Talmidim Hayolai Le Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. He had five Talmidim, and it lists the Talmidim. Then what does the next Mishnah say? Hu Hayamayne Shvachan. He, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, used to list their praises. This one is a Bar Sid Shein Omavid Tipa. This one is Ashrei Yelad Ato. This one, right? He goes through each of the... So, what do you mean? How could Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai speak Lashon Hara about his Talmidim? He's Mayne Shvachan. So, because of that stira, that the Mishnah of us seems to say, you're allowed to speak B'Shvach, your friend, or your Talmidim. Yet the Gemara in Erech and Bavasa says you're not allowed to. Therefore, they reconcile the stira by saying that the Isser is only Yoiser Midai. That's how the Paiskim say it. The Chafetz Chaim, when he brings this halacha, he adds what Dan just said, which is that if you're speaking in front of someone who doesn't like the person you're talking about, then even one shvach is aser. You're not allowed to say anything good about a person who you know the other person doesn't like. If you know that I don't like Reuven, you're not allowed to say to me, oh, you know, Reuven's a nice guy. And Reuven's a nice guy is not yaiser midai. You're not sitting there saying, oh, he's wonderful, blah, 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 blah. He's just a nice guy. But if I don't like him, you know what I'm going to say next. You say, he's a nice guy, I'm going to say, yeah, but you know what? You know what I heard about Reuven? You know what Reuven did to me? Right? So you know I'm going to respond that way. So you're not allowed to say even one nice thing in front of a person who doesn't like him.
It's such an impractical halacha, not the second part, the first part. Yasumi Dai is just such like a...
How do you define Yasumi Dai? So the way that the Rashi says it And the way that, therefore, the Chafetz Chaim says it as well, just quoting Rashi, is that when you say excessive praise, then it causes either you yourself or the people you're speaking to say, yes, but. Because once you get to too much, then nobody's that perfect. So, and no one wants to believe anybody's that perfect.
So like, you know when you get there, but then it's too late.
Right. So what it means is when you get to a point that, I mean, you're right, it's a little bit undefined. When you get to a point where it's you know, it's not what is typically done. And then you have to stop. So, the Chafetz Chaim does say an exception, which is that if nobody knows the person you're speaking about, he's someone who's like everybody knows is you know one of the Gedolei Ador, everybody knows, you know, that kind of thing, then it's not a problem because it's not going to incite anybody to be jealous to say something. You know, you talk about Rabbi Akiva Eger, and you talk about, you know,
if he's passed away, maybe, is that different?
Yeah, that's also different. I mean, with some, he lived a few generations ago already, so talking about Rabbi Akiva Eger, we talk about how wonderful, I mean, none of us are going to be jealous of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He's not in our league, or we're not in his league, I should say, right? There's not going to be any room for us to say anything that's negative. Why should we? But we talk about one of our peers, no one wants to believe that one of our peers is so much better than we are. So when you start to excessively praise, so that causes people to speak Lashon Hara. So this is the, that's how it's paskened. Here, Daig HaDaimi, you could say he did it too much, or you could say that he did it with a person who would naturally be jealous. What does Shaul know at this time when Daig HaDaimi is speaking? He knows, A, that he has lost the melucha, that someone else is going to get it, and he knows that David, who is coming to play for him, is from Shevet Yehuda, Beis Halachmi, Shevet Yehuda. Now, Shevet Yehuda, everybody knows that the Malchus comes from Shevet Yehuda.
It's the biggest Shevet, isn't it?
What?
Is that, I mean, wasn't the largest Shevet?
Ephraim and Menashe might have been.
But still, bigger. It's a huge. I mean, this is a huge.
Yeah. No, you're right. You mean, so who says he's from? Who's from the right line? Yeah. Right. But it could be that he knew that. It could be that Yishai was a well-known figure and pretty people knew that he was from the right line, mm-hmm. that he was from Bayaz, from Rus. When Rus and Bayaz married that this was the line of the Malucha, they realized it in the time of Rus. Now this is a few generations later, because after Bayaz comes Oved, Yishai, David. So this is three generations later. So it was likely that Shaul knew that this lad, he's not a boy, but this 28-year-old or 27-year-old young man, was a potential rival. So the fact that he's from there, he's from the right family, and he's from the right place, and then Doeg, and Shaul just lost the Malucha, and now Doeg is saying these shvachos bedavka to make Shaul jealous.
Is it possible that Yishai was protecting David then?
Well, the Medrash says it's a I don't know if now is the right. We'll probably get to it later, but the Medrash says that I'll share it with
okay.
you. Then I'll tell you. Then. The Medrash says like this. The Medrash says that David HaMelech, you know that in the time of Rus, there was a controversy as to whether she was allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, because she comes from Moav, and Moav is also to marry into Klal Yisrael. Afil Dara Asiri. So the Gemara in Yevamos discusses how the question was: do we say Moavi v'loy Moavis? It says Loy Avoy Moavi b'Kal Hashem. Moavi can't marry into Klal Hashem. Is it Moavi v'loy Moavis? A female Mayavis is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, or is it Mayavi va'afilu Mayavis? Mm-hmm. If there's no difference, because the Torah frequently speaks in Lashon Zachar and it means Nekeva also. So that was a machlokes. In the time of Bayaz, when Rus came back from Mayav, and she's in Eretz Yisrael, so there was, Bayaz says to Rus, when Rus goes to Bayaz and says, I want to marry you, or I want you to marry me, Bayaz says, I'll do it, but there's someone who's first in line. And that's my uncle, Taiv, or Pliny Almighty. So Toiv doesn't want to do it, and he says, "Pen ashchis es nachalasi." I don't want to do it because I might destroy my future, my nachla. So there's a famous, there's a Briska Rav about it, and others who speak about this, and they say that what was he concerned about? He was concerned that even though at that time the prevalent halacha was mayavi v'loy mayavis, because Vayaz was the Gadol Hadar, and he was the Av Bezdin, and he paskined mayavi v'loy mayavis, that a mayavis is mutter, but a later Bezdin could overturn that ruling, and could paskin mayavi v'afilu mayavis. Who's to know what's going to happen in the future? Something which is darshined through Tarshim Alpeh, that can be changed later, if a later Bezdin paskins differently. In fact, in the time of Yishai, after he had already had several children, he had seven children already, seven boys, the Av Bezdin paskined Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis, that a Mayavis is usher to marry into Klal Yisrael. Now, who was the Av Bezdin? Give me three guesses.
Yishai.
Nope. Dayag HaAdaimi. Dayag HaAdaimi was the Av Bezdin.
Wait. So he's no longer an Adami?
No. What? He was a Yid. He was Adami doesn't mean that he was currently not Jewish.
Oh, he was a convert.
He was probably a descendant of.
Fine.
You know, but he was the Av Bezdin. He was the all these people listed in the Mishnah were great people who unfortunately fell. Yeravam ben Nevat was the greatest of the great, and he fell. We'll talk about each one individually. So Doeg, he was the Av Bezdin, and he paskined Mayavi Vafilu Mayavis. Now, when that happened, it turned out retroactively that Yishai and his sons were now descendants of Rus, and Rus wasn't allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael.
Was that a greater Bezdin than the Bezdin of Boaz?
Yeah, it has to be a greater Bezdin. It has to be a greater Bezdin. Right. To overturn a previous ruling, it's got to be a greater Bezdin. Apparently it was. So now Yishai finds himself in a difficult situation because he can't.
He's not Jewish.
Well,
he is Jewish.
He is Jewish because Boaz and Rus have a son Oved, and he marries a Jewish girl.
Ah, fine.
So they're Jewish, but his lineage is not what it should be. So, therefore, he separates from his wife. Mrs. Yishai and Yishai separate from each other. Now, Boaz, Boaz is not usher to everybody. Boaz isn't able to be married to a regular Jewess, but he can marry other types of Jews, like, for example, a Shivcha. He was allowed to marry. So he doesn't divorce his wife. They separate. But he does take another wife. He takes...
Yishai.
He takes a Shivcha. Mrs. Yishai doesn't buy the whole thing. And Mrs. Yishai has the Shivcha. I guess she speaks to the Shivcha, whatever it is. She convinces the Shivcha that Mrs. Yishai will replace the Shivcha in the middle of the night. And then, so she lives with her husband. But Yishai doesn't know it. Mrs. Yishai becomes pregnant. Now, as far as anybody knew, she was separated from her husband. But she's still married to him. So if anybody lived with her, that means it was adultery. Zeishes ish. Which means the result, the child born from there, is a mamzer. So the child who was born from there is David HaMelech.
It's like Tamar and Yehuda.
Right, it's the whole thing. So that's why when Shmuel came to Yishai and said, "One of your sons is king, bring them before it," it didn't enter his mind at all that it could possibly be David, even if David had all these attributes. It's irrelevant. He's a mamzer. He's not going to be king. It can't be. So David is off in the field, you know, taking care of the sheep and whatever it is, and Shmuel comes and says, "That's it. None of your boys, they didn't pass the grade. So what now? So Yishai said, "Well, there's another one, there's David, but he's, you know, so he says, "Bring him before me." Comes before him, pours the oil, boom, it's David. Their eyes popped out of their heads. Because for the past 28 years, 27 years, whatever it is, they believed that he was a mamzer.
They couldn't. It's like a great novel.
Right. Well, then, you know, the line of David is full of this kind of thing.
Yeah, no, right? I mean, but it should have been obvious to Yishai that something like this. I mean, it probably wouldn't happen. It was obvious to Yishai. Of course, it's got to be something like that.
The Medrash says that on the Psukim in Hallel, I think about this almost every time I say Hallel. Oidcha Hashem ki ani sani vatihilu lishua. I thank you, Hashem, for you afflicted me and then you saved me. That was said by David HaMelech. Oidcha Hashem ki ani sani vatihilu lishua. Even moasu habaynim, the stone that the builders despised, Hayalorish Pina, became the cornerstone. That was said by Yishai. He's the builder. He's the father. So the one who the parents despised, he ended up being the Rosh Pina.
It's like an even bigger underdog story than when he was run.
The next pasuk. Meis Hashem Haisa Zois. This comes from Hashem. He niflas beinenu. This is a. We're bewildered in our eyes. That was said by David's brothers. That pasuk. The last one was Shmuel. That's Shmuel speaking. This is it, right? So that's what the Medrash says on this story. So that David was from an eligible family, yes, but David wasn't from an eligible lineage. That was the problem. What happened? The Gemara Yavama says that they were debating this and we'll see this later, I believe, in this parak. But they were debating this of, what do you mean? How could what happened is that later on, after David comes before Shaul and he's involved with Shaul, how did David become Shaul's general? By killing Goliath. So Goliath is threatening the Jewish people and everybody's afraid of him. And David says to the king, I'll go and fight him. So Shaul says, how could you do it? You're so young. He says, don't worry, I'll go do it. Hashem saved me from the bear and from the lion. I can take care of Goliath. It's not me, it's all from Hashem, and he'll save me from Goliath as well. So he goes out. As he's going out, the pasuk says that Shaul says, who is this young man? Who is this young man? So the question, what do you mean, who's this young man? He's been with him all the time. But they were questioning his lineage. He was saying, what do you mean? How could he be anything special and go defeat God? He's a mamzer. How could it be? So the Gemara says, I forget the name, that one of the Talmidim of Shmuel came with a sword and he said, Kach mikublani mishmuel haramasi. This is my Kabbalah from Shmuel, that it is a halacha l'maisha misinai mayavi v'loi mayavis. A mayavi and not a mayavis. That all of this, the debating in Beis Din, yes or no, that's only if it's not halacha l'maisha misinai, then you can debate it. But really, it's mayavi v'loi mayavis, and it's not debatable, because it's a halacha l'maisha misinai. You can't debate a halacha l'maisha misinai. That's it. So once that was Paskin, and he had the sword. Once that was Paskin, then there was no overturning it anymore. And then David's line was secure.
And then Shaul was jealous of him.
So the question is, when did the jealousy start of Shaul? When did the jealousy actually start? So again, later on, we'll have to go through these psukim a little more carefully. But this is the basic storyline over here. It doesn't answer how Doeg knew about David before. That it doesn't answer. But what it does answer is that Yishai may have known about David's qualities, but he still didn't bring him before Shmuel because he held he wasn't right.
Doeg seems very sketchy in this whole thing. I mean, it's almost like he manufactured the halacha. You know what I mean?
Well, nobody accuses him of that. Remember, Boaz, who marries Rus, is the one who passed him at that time. Mayaviv aloy mayavis.
And that's a little bit of a conflict.
Right. But he passed on that. I mean, no one accuses Boaz of having done it for his own self.
I have Raya as the Doeg's a Rasha.
He becomes a Rasha.
Okay.
He becomes a Rasha. It's not that he did, on his Madrega, he did something so egregious, he loses his Chelek. It's hard to lose one's Chelek.
But even just for this, now I'm talking at this point, right? at this point.
Yeah, he speaks Lashon. Clearly over here he's already showing.
So I have some issues with the fact that maybe this Beis Din isn't on a higher level. If the Av Beis Din is speaking Lashon Hara, then maybe the whole Beis Din is a little...
The Ben Apsak was before. It precedes this.
Was he still Av Beis Din at this point?
Yeah. No, this precedes David's... His Psak precedes David's birth.
I understand.
That's 27 years earlier.
Right, but was he still Av Beis Din at this time?
I don't know if he was still Av Beis Din. I'm not sure. I mean, he was a Gadol in Torah. He was a Gadol in Torah.
He stayed over Nov to learn Torah.
Right, I mean, that's the thing, right? The Gemara, that's the Gemara says that he was there learning Torah. Learning Torah Bahasma. I mean, he was a big, I mean, that's the Gemara, right, says over here. How do you know, one second, Echad Min HaNa'arim? How do you know Echad Min HaNa'arim is Doyeg? Because it says that he was there learning Torah.
Right. So, okay.
Right.
And we don't say, and it's interesting that we don't say that if he was on such a level, that we don't say that it's Lashon Hara for him on his level.
No, it's for sure Lashon Hara.
Yeah. I'm saying, but, right.
I mean, that it was only on his level that it was Lashon Hara.
Yeah, because it's such an avak.
I don't know. It's Gemara says he had Kavana for it. Okay.
But you can tell us how, though, do I know that he was...
I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet. I don't know. I'm not sure how.
That's what I'm saying. It sounds like he knew.
Yeah.
All along, and that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. Now.
But what would he have to lose? Like, I mean.
Sounds like that he knew what.
Sounds like all along he knew that it was Moav and no Moav.
Oh no! I don't mean that. I mean, it sounds like he knew about David. He knew about David's greatness, but I don't know.
Right. I'm saying if this. The Pasha's Gemara is that he is trying to get David killed. Right? He's trying to get David killed. So he must recognize that David is somehow a threat to him.
It could be that
or to his or to Shul.
Okay.
So it's only possible if that's true if he really knows that his lineage is legit, because if he really thinks he's a mamzer, there's no reason to speak Lashon Hara about
it. Right. Okay.
And how could he not? The only way he could know that he's really not a mamzer is if the psak that was given, he knows is incorrect, and that and that would be a problem because he was the Av Beis Din that gave the psak.
It could be right about that. But it doesn't call into question the psak 27 years earlier.
I think it does.
No, that may have been honest and legit. There was no David then. There was no
right. But I'm saying that he knows 27 years later. He knows that his psak, that original psak, is wrong.
That might be, but that doesn't mean at the time.
So you're saying it's possible that he came. I'm not saying for sure, but it's possible he came. Either he knew before, and then his psak was totally criminal, or he found out later, and the crime is that he didn't reverse it.
That could be. To me, the second one is much more likely because no one. It's clear that the Chazal assumed that Doeg was a legitimate Gadol Hadar before he fell.
Right, and so it must have been at some point he found out that he made a mistake or something.
Could be that's what it is, and then you're saying it would be Gaifa that he didn't want to give it up. So we'll have to examine Daig later. It's always difficult to speak about these people because it's so hard to understand. Like, you know, he was so great. How could he, you know? So Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have to have that discussion.
Just don't let understanding stand in your way. It works.
Now, it's interesting if you go through these psukim that. So you have, so Dan asked, how come it's listed here as when you go through these six people, first it's David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah. I mean, Mashiach should come afterwards. Okay. It's interesting that the context in which we find out the six brachas that they got, the context in Mashiach's case is a nevuah about Mashiach. So exactly the way we would expect it. There's a nevuah in Sefer Yeshayah about Mashiach, and it's totally complementary. For Nachal of Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chachma Ovina, Ruach Eitzel Gvur, Ruach Das Mirs Hashem. We say this pasuk when we take out the Torah. I mean, this is a beautiful pasuk, and exactly what you'd expect. The context in which we find the six brachos to David HaMelech is Doyeg HaDayim speaking Lashon Hara about David HaMelech. That's the context. That's how we collectively find out about these six brachos. That's how we find out about him. And the context in which we find out those six brachas to Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah is them being pressed into service in Nebuchadnezzar's court because of the impending destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how we find out about it. So both for David and for Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, the way that we are told about their greatness is not in a beautiful context. It's in the context of a negative sort of thing. David is the first of Malchus Beis David. Mashiach is, so to speak, the last of Malchus Beis David. In other words, there may be descendants of Mashiach who will succeed Mashiach as king. We don't know what Yemos Mashiach is supposed to be like. It's a machlokes whether people are still going to live and die. We don't know. But for our purposes, Mashiach is the end, meaning because from his time on, it's a whole different ballgame. So you go from David to Mashiach.
He'll have sons.
What's that?
Right? It says he'll have sons.
Yeah, yeah. So there's David until Mashiach. And then Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah represent the end of Malchus Beis David until Mashiach comes. Because from the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, even though Tzidkiyahu was still king when Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah are pressed into service, but Yechoniah had already been taken into Galus, Tzidkiyahu is king, but that's the end. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, they were living through the end of the reign of Malchus Beis David. Even though it's true that when the second Beis HaMikdash is built, Zerubbabel, who was also Nehemiah, the Gemara speaks about at the bottom over here, that Nehemiah, the name that the Sefer wasn't called in his name, Ezra Nehemiah, that Nehemiah is also, he's Pachas Yehuda, he is a descendant of David HaMelech. And had there been royalty in the second Beis HaMikdash, it would have been Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, who would have been the Melech. But Lamaisa, there was no Malchus, because we were under the rule of Koresh. We were under the rule of the Persians and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. So there was no Malchus of Beis David. So Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah represent the group of Malchus Beis David that had the Beis HaMikdash not been destroyed, they would have likely been the successors, one of them, and most likely would have been Daniel. Most likely would have been the successor to the throne. Why do I say it would most likely be Daniel? Because later on we're going to see a Gemara that's going to say, the Gemara is discussing who is Mashiach. Who is Mashiach? So the Gemara says, well, either Mashiach is from those who are living, or Mashiach is from those who have already passed away. Mashiach could be from someone who's dead. Hashem will bring him back to life. And it'll be Mashiach. As long as he's a direct descendant of David HaMelech, he could be Mashiach.
The same halachah is about the order of things. You must Mashiach. Tchias amazing.
Yeah, okay, that could be. That could be part of it. But the Gemara over there says, if it's from the people who are living, it lists one of the Amoraim over there that he would be Mashiach. And the Gemara says, if it's from someone who has passed away, Daniel. That's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara is probably just saying an example, but you see that he was Roy Lamalchus. He was Roy Lakach. Everybody agrees he was from Yehuda. That everybody, even though there's a machlokes about Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, but Daniel, everybody agrees was from the Malchus. So he was Roy Lamalucha, but he lived in a time when the Malchus was no longer working, was no longer going to be working, and therefore the fact that he was Roy didn't help him. So the Gemara lists these six brachas for David, who starts it all, Mashiach, who's going to pick up where Malchus Beis David left off, and then you have Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, who were at the time when it was left off. That's the order that the Gemara presents it in. The brachas that are mentioned are actually very similar to each other, but with slight nuances. If you look at the ones for David, let's look at them carefully over here. It says, I'm going through the pasuk, not the way the Gemara darshins the pasuk. Yoidea Nagain, there you have the word Das. Gibor Chayil, you have the word Gibor. Ish Milchama. Navain Davar, that's Bina. Ish Toyar. Hashem Imai. Now, you can line up most of those with the one about Mashiach. V'nachal av ruach Hashem ruach Chachma. Now, it does not say Chachma for David, but it does say Bina. It says Navain Davar, that's Bina. It doesn't say Eitzah. It does say Gvura, Gibor Chayil. It does say Das, that would be Yodeya Nagein. And Yiras Hashem is Hashem Imai. So you have a lot of it lines up. If you look further down with Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, so Ein Bahem Kol Mum, that's not clear what that would be. Toivei Mare is very similar to Ish Toyar of David. Toivei Mare. Umaskim B'chol Chachma, there's the word Chachma that you find with Mashiach. Yoidei Das, there you have Das. Mevinei Mada, that's Bina. Vasher Koyach Bahem, there's the strength, which could be Gibor. Lama Behechel HaMelech V'lam Dom Sefer, etc. So the brachas are similar, but in context, they're different. Because the brachas about David are in the context of his, so to speak, competition with Yohanan. The brachas about Mashiach are about how he's going to be, like, you know, totally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's going to bring everybody back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the psukim about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are about their ability to serve under Nebuchadnezzar. It's the same six brachas, even though I haven't lined them up completely, as you see, but they are very similar to each other, but they are applied differently. Rus was being told by Boaz that you're going to have descendants that are all going to have the same six brachas, but applied as needed, depending on Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David will endure forever. What's the lashon? Yechi Hamelach David la'olam, David Melech Chai v'kayam. That it's never, it's going to endure forever. No matter what stage of the Malchus of the world that we're in, Malchus Beis David will endure forever. That's what Boaz was telling Rus. Because your descendants will have these six brachas and they will be applied as needed. David will have them as he needs them, which will be to supplant Shaul, which means to supplant Yohanan, which is very difficult. You have an existing king and David has to come and take over. That's where David will be, and his six brachas will be applied perfectly for him. For Mashiach, where he has to come out of nowhere, where there's nothing, where the world is in a terrible state, and he's going to bring the world back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is going to be impossible to even fathom, but he's going to do it. So the six brachas are going to be perfect for him. And Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who are going to be living through the darkest time of Malchus Beis David, where there's no Malucha, where they are forced into service for Nebuchadnezzar, HaRasha, still, the six brachas are going to serve them to endure and to continue the legacy of Malchus Beis David. That's the message that Boaz is telling Rus. It's not going to be a rosy future every single generation. There's going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be where David HaMelech's reign is going to be powerful, and at times it's going to be terrible. But Malchus Beis David will reign forever. It's never going to break. And the six brachas are going to be applied as needed.
Is it possible that the brachas for Mashiach in generality are the general categories, and then the individuals that come are going to take those general categories and modify them to the time?
I think the ones for Mashiach is the purest of them.
That's why Mashiach is in the middle, because these are the categories that connect.
That's good.
This is the connection.
That's good. But that's the message that Boaz is giving Rus at that time, because Rus is about to become the Ima Shel Malchus. She's the Aim Malchus. She's the mother of royalty. She's the one in Navi.
What does that have to do with barley? That's animal food. I mean, like, right. why is that barley?
That's a good question. Why so Irim?
I guess it's Shirim. It's like a measure more than...
That could be. That's a good
These
question.
Are the six measures.
Why so Irim? I think it has to do with the Karban HaOmer. And,
You would think it would be seven, then.
That's interesting. Okay, that's a good point.
I think it has to do with something the shiur, like the measure. These are the six measures. These are the six measures or the categories of bracha that will be inherent in whoever the Mashiach is, or in your descendants, of which will be necessary to be Mashiach.
It could be. I just want to say one last thing, even though we're over time, is that when the Gemara has a discussion about srisim, and whether it means that they were really srisim, which means they were castrated. Or does it mean that they were that nistarsa avarazara biyamehem, that there was no that avarazara was destroyed in their day? The Marshal over here points out that the word sris, this is a confusing thing for a lot of people. The word sris in Tanakh means an officer, meaning
Chamberlain. That's what the
The symbol, even though the word sris does mean to be impotent or whatever, that's not what typically it means in this context. In this context, it generally means, you talk about Sris HaMelech, it means a chash of a person, a cabinet post. That's what it means. The Gemara over here is darshaning that this time Sris means other than what it normally means, or in addition to what it normally means. But it's the typical meaning of the word Sris is like a cabinet post. Okay, we'll have to continue next time in Sashah.